Morning. Today's daf is daf Yud Beis and Horios. For us, it's really daf Yud Aleph and Horios, but hopefully between today and tomorrow and Thursday, we will finish the Masechta. I do anticipate that. I do forecast that we're going to finish the Masechta. But like the weatherman, who occasionally gets it wrong, I don't think I'm going to be wrong this time. But okay, we did get to Yud Aleph yesterday. We did hit Yud Aleph yesterday, and we really should be hitting Yud Beis today. Okay, but we're beyond that now. We start at the top of the page, Tana Rabban. We are six lines down from the top of the page. The Gemara today is going to be mostly halacha and a little bit of agadata. It's just a lot of Gemara today that we're going to go through. Yesterday we had the pleasure of going through a lot of agadata back on Daf Yud. The Gemara took us through some very philosophical points about Bechira Chafshis, about Mitzvah Lishma, Aver Lishma, Aver Shalom Lishma.
What was the bottom line for the king, though?
He's
going to sin or he's not going to sin?
He's going. In other words, he has Bechira Chafshitz, but he's going to. I'm saying it, you know, we've seen it. I mean, we've seen it in the past. I mean, it's not. But there are kings who are big tzaddikim. Tana Rabbanan, Me'am Ha'aretz Prat L'Mashiach, Me'am Ha'aretz Prat L'Nasi. Okay, we are quoting from the Pasuk in Perek Dalet in Vayikra, and the Gemara says that there are two exclusions that are excluded. So the Pasuk says, Me'am Ha'aretz, so from the people, so that excludes the Mashiach and excludes the king. Mashiach, of course, here means the Kohen Gadol, as we've been discussing now for the good part of the Masechta. So the Gemara says, that's very strange. Why do we need exclusions for the king and for the Kohen Gadol? As we already know, they already have the special Kabbana. So why do I need a Pasuk to exclude them if they already are in separate categories in the Perek? Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Because it's true that the Kohen Gadol has a special Karban, right? But that's only with a Hora, right? Like we've been discussing through the second and third Parakim of Horios. In order for a Kohen Gadol to bring his special par, he needs to have a Hora. He needs to first come out with a Psak and then follow his incorrect Psak. Right, but what if he doesn't have a Hora? What if he doesn't have a Psak, a ruling? And what if he just does a Shogig like you and me? So, we legitimately would have entertained a Havamina that he would have to bring a carbon like you and me. Kisva Sira, either a sheep or a goat. Tamalama mi amar, it's Pala Mashiach. Good. So that's why we have a special pasuk that excludes the Kohen Gadol. The Gemara takes us to the next step. Tenach Mashiach el Nasi b'shigas ma'isu d'ma'isi. So the Gemara says, good, that's a great havamina for the Kohen Gadol. What about for the king? Right? For the king, there's no hora'ah. A king is just a regular shogeg. So why do I need a pasuk to exclude a king? So Amar Azud Mishmei Derava Hachba Ma'iskin and Kagosh Achol Kazayis Chelav Kishu Hedjot V'Nisnam Neva Achakach Nodalam. So the Gemara says, okay, I'll tell you why I need a pasuk, because we're talking about somebody who ate a Kazayis Chelav. Kazayis is just a shear. The shear, the requisite amount of forbidden fats of an animal. He did so while being a commoner, and then he was appointed to be king, and then afterwards he finds out that he ate the chalef, sa'akadat chamina, na'isi kisvo si'ira. Now look, for sure he won't bring his special se'ir. His male goat he won't bring, because that's only required if he sinned as the king. That didn't happen over here. He didn't sin as a king. He sinned as a commoner. But he didn't find out about it until he was a king. So kamash malan, so the chiddush now is, I might have thought that he should bring a regular carbon, because look, he sinned as a regular person, as a commoner. So I might have thought he should bring a regular carbon, kamash malan. Hanich l'Rabbi Shimon Dazal Basi Yediyah, good. That is a great Havamina Maskana.
The Rabbanan themselves that said that he has to bring it for the time that he committed, right?
El la Rabbanan Dazal Basi Chata Ma'ikal Meimar, but good, that's great, but what if you're the Chachamim? And remember, back in the Mishnah we learned, beginning of the opening of the third parak, we learned that according to the Chachamim, everything follows the Chait. Meaning he sinned as a commoner, that's it. He's required to bring a carbon. So the Gemara says, well, how about this? Let's talk about a case where he ate a half a kezias of chalev while he's a commoner, appointed as king, And then his first act of king, which I'm just saying that to be dramatic, but
it's still eating.
And right, and then he finished the other half of his kezias. So now salkadat chemin, I might have thought it started for nicey kisvah seira. So I might have thought that there would be starfus. There would the two half measurements would combine kamash malan. So the Gemara says that's what it's coming to teach us, that no, they do not combine. Now that he's a king, he's a totally different status. Consequently, his eating a half a kezias is a commoner, and his eating a half a kezias of a king, those two halves do not make up a whole.
So he doesn't bring anything?
You're right. And consequently, he wouldn't have to bring anything. And now, the Gemara is going to ask a number of these types of questions, meaning, we're going to talk now about hitzarfus, about combining. So, let's ask the following question. The Gemara first poses a question in a very ambiguous way. Does a kingship interrupt? What does that mean? That's the Gemara's next question. Hechidami. Kagon. So the Gemara says, let me first explain to you what the question is. Sha'acho kezayis chelev kishu hejot, v'nibznamne v'avar v'hishlimo. Okay. Case goes like this. A weird case, but the Gemara is speaking in much more abstract terms. The Gemara is talking really in the theoretical. He eats a half a kezayis of chelev while he's a commoner, and then he got an appointment as a king. Good. And he has a nice kingship, but he then gets, for whatever reason, removed from king. Okay, goes back home now, regular commoner, and he eats another half a kezayis of chelev. Now, it is a little bit strange because, and I say that because, in order to be chayv a karban chatas, you have to eat a kezayis of chelev, right? That's well understood, right? That's and then, on top of that, not only do you have to eat a full kezayis of chelev, but you have to do a behelam echad, in one stage of unawareness. So that usually means that I'm eating it in one time and I forget that eating chelev is asur. I forget that I didn't realize that this piece was a chelev in front of me. Right? You have some form of unawareness. But it has to be one lapse of unawareness. So it is a little bit strange, and of course this is much more theoretical than practical, that he ate it before he was a king, becomes a king, right? And then after becoming the king, now, right, after becoming deposed, then eats another chelev, and that's all behelam echad, that's all in one state of unawareness. Okay. It's strange, but Gemara just wants to know. It's really, the core question over here is, does that kingship in the middle, does that serve as a break in his two eatings?
How about if he started to eat the chelev, he gets an email, he's a half, gets an email, congratulations, you're a king.
Right.
There is one helen there.
I understand, but not only does he have to get that email, he has to then get a second email saying, five minutes later, saying, look, see, you know.
But you get about the change in the status. Isn't there a time limit?
Right. Well, that goes back to my point, right? That it's just strange that it has to, right?
That
the, right, that you have to eat it in a tochidei achilas pras. It's a fair question.
I mean, like on Yom Kippur,
I understand. Right? Is that true?
That's why I said he was eating it, and then.
I understand.
No, but I think that it's not a change. It's not a. The issue isn't a change in status. The change is like, forget about the status.
No. I understand the time factor. Okay. All right. Va'amar Yishlim. I'm not sure. So on one hand, look, let's take the sum total, right? I know he was the king in the middle, and I know as the king he would bring a totally different carbon. That's all true. But look, when the day's over, and this story is over, he ate a full kezias of chelev while being a commoner. Oh, Dilma, Loshna. Or the Gemara says, look, or on the other hand, that kingship may interrupt. So Tifshor le mehad amar ula. So the Gemara is Amar Rav Yochanan. So the Gemara says, look, I will cite you another halacha where we can learn from that other halacha. Well, that other halacha goes like this. Acha chelev v'hifrish karban behemir v'chazer bo. Let's talk about the following scenario. He ate chelev. Okay? He sets aside a karban. So far, so good. And then hamer. And then he says, you know what? I give up this religion. And he's hamer das. And he becomes a total apostate. So the chazerbo, and then after doing so, he says, "You know what? I know I'm going to become a Baal Tshuva." So he goes through a whole life sequence over here. But here's the critical point of this story. As he did hamara, as he went into apostate mode, his carbon now is disqualified. Interestingly enough, the halacha is, as that a mummer, someone who's an apostate, is forbidden to bring a carbon. Not allowed to bring a carbon. We'll talk about the why later on. The Gemara is going to
regret it and chazal.
Yeah, correct, there's correct,
no
correct. The Gemara.
The mummer says
it's based on psukim. Mummer cannot bring a carbon. Period.
No, but forever.
And his carbon is disqualified. Meaning, even if he were to set aside a carbon, his carbon becomes disqualified. So over here, he ate chaylev while still being part of the reservation, sets aside his carbon while being part of the reservation, leaves the reservation, right? And I'm talking about in religion, and then comes back. So what the halach is, hoven itcha yitcha. Rav Yochanan says unequivocally, carbon's no good. Meaning because that carbon went through a period of rejection. And even though that was a small period of rejection, but still rejection is rejection. And Rav Yochanan therefore says that carbon is just simply disqualified, even though he comes back to the reservation. Right? So wait. Okay, let's just Gemara work through its point. So the Gemara says, so what do you see over there? That even a temporary rejection is the rejection. So the Gemara says, maybe you want to say the same thing over here. You ate a half a kesais before you're the king. Then you become the king. Becoming the king in the Gemara's argument is kind of like a rejection. Now, obviously there's a difference, but right now I'm just explaining the Gemara's attempt in constructing this argument. It's kind of like a rejection in the sense that as a king, you don't bring that carbon. You bring a different carbon. So to a certain degree, it's kind of like a rejection. So from Rav Yochanan, can't we make the argument that you see a temporary rejection as a rejection? Hachi hashta, the Gemara says, it's not a good comparison. Moma la bar suya carbon hu. High bar suya carbon hu. It's really not a good comparison. Because as a mumar, you simply do not bring a carbon at all. Meaning as an mumar, as an apostate, you're totally removed from the world of carbon. You and carbon have nothing to do with one another. Therefore, the rejection is a rejection. As opposed to a king, he's not removed from carbon. It's just that that's not the carbon that he's supposed to bring. He brings a different carbon had he eaten chelev. So the Gemara says the comparison is not a good comparison, and we have nothing to gain from Rav Yochanan. Okay. Yes.
If somebody becomes a mumar, right, and then has charata, can he in the future bring korbanah?
Yeah, of course. Okay. From the future.
So it's just that during that
period of time.
Until it began.
Correct. Correct. By me, Rabbi Zemer, Sheshazach, Safik, Chelav, Kishu, Hajjub, and Isnamna, Beno, Dolos, Feko, Mahu. Another very detailed question based on this idea that as a king, he's like a new status. He has a totally different status. What if he ate a Safik, Chelav, while being a commoner? Now, again, we know the halach is that on a Safik, you bring a special carbon called the Nashim Talui, right? Also found at the end of Parshas Vayikra. And then you become the king. Now, Now, according to the Chachamim, of course you bring the Yer Karban Hashem Talui, because remember, according to the Chachamim, everything depends on when you sinned. You sinned as a commoner, you have to bring the Karban Hashem Talui. The fact that you became the king, congratulations, but that's not going to change your obligation to bring the carbon. You still need to bring the carbon. So the question for the Chachamim doesn't even get off the ground. It's not even a question. But really the question becomes a question according to Rabbi Shimon, because remember, he says you need two ingredients to bring a carbon. You need both the chait and the critical, and the second critical time period is yidia, knowledge of when you sinned. So let's say now like this, So let's say you sinned as a commoner, meaning you ate your suffik chaylev, and you find out about it only after you become the king. Now, on one hand, we say, look, as a king, we know that your vadai chatas changes. At once, that when you were a commoner, you would have brought a kisva or seira. Now, as a king, you bring a seir, a male goat, so your vadai changes. So, since your vadai change, does your suffix also change in status? Oh, dilma ki ishtan lavadai, ishtan karban diday. On the other hand, look, your vadai changes. Meaning, it once upon a time was a seerah, Now it's a seer, it changes. Your suffix never changes. Never. In other words, as a king, he still also brings the Hashem Talui. So maybe even though in his Chatas Karban, in his Vadei Karban, it changes, but in his Suffix Karban, it doesn't change. The Gemara says, Teku. The Gemara says, I don't know. I do not know whether or not his Suffix Karban also is a new status, even though the Karban itself is the same.
Does the king bring a different kind of Hashem Talui than a
common? No.
So
that's exactly the Gemara's question. His carbon is not, it's the same carbon that he would have brought as a king. It's just that as a king, maybe we just view him as a totally new status. It's a different Hashem Talui.
You're saying forget about your Hashem Talui. No, don't bring it.
Right. Tana Rabbana Me'am Aretz Prat LaMomar. Okay, and so now, we did bring up the idea of Momar. So the Gemara will take this opportunity from here until the very bottom of the Amud to talk about a Momar. Now in a Momar, we've discussed it throughout Shas. It is a Shas topic. A mummer is an apostate. Somebody who, you know, what I call leaves the reservation. Right? Somebody who's just not in the, the exact definition of mummer is kind of hard. You'll see the Gemara itself struggles with what is the definition of mummer. And when you become a mummer, so what therefore happens halachically? What's the halachic reality of a mummer? So from our perspective, we're really focusing on one aspect of it. Can't bring a carbon. Can't bring a carbon. As a mummer, you're simply not qualified. You're not allowed to bring a carbon. Okay.
Is there a difference in mummer and bikkurim?
In this discussion, no. In other areas of halacha, perhaps, but not here. Tana Rabbanan Me'am Aretz Prat LaMummer, Rabbi Shimon Ben Yossi, Amar Mishum Rabbi Shimon. Now, the first opinion is Me'am Ha'aretz. Am Ha'aretz means you have to be part of the nation, right? So my terminology is not that bad, right? Even though it's obviously a modern phrase. But, you know, when you leave the reservation, you're not of the people, right? You're away from the people. So you are a mummer, and consequently, you can't bring a carbon. You're not fit to bring a carbon. Now, the second opinion of the Braisa sounds very similar. Rabbi Shimon ben Yosi, Omer, Mishum, Rabbi Shimon, Asher lo se asana b'shkaga ve'ashem. You did it bishkaga in a state of unawareness, and you were guilty. And he learns that from the pasuk as follows: Hashabi yidiyisom ivi karban al shigagaso. I'm sorry. Let me do that again. Hashabi yidiyisom ivi karban al shigagaso. Lo shabi yidiyisom enam ivi karban al shigagaso. It has to be where if before you ate the chalev, someone goes over to you and says to you, "You know that's chalev? Oh, I didn't know." Or someone says to you, "You know the Torah says you're not allowed to eat it? Oh, I didn't know. I'm not going to eat it." That person is qualified to bring a carbon chatas. However, if you go over to the person, he says to you, you know that's chalev, and he says, good, I'm happy. Wait a second, did you know the Torah says that's aser? And he says, yeah, of course I know that. And he eats it anyway. He's not shav mi yediyaso. If you would have informed him before he ate it, and he says, afal pikin, I'm going to eat it anyway, I don't care, that is not, he's not qualified to bring the carbon in the state of shogeg.
But that's amazing, though. By definition, that's amazing, no?
No. He ate it b'shogeg. But what we're saying is that had he known about it, even if you would have informed him, he happens right now to think that this piece of fat in front of him is shuman. It's permissible fat. And so he really is a state of shogeg. But if you say to him, you know, that's the piece of chalev, and he says, oh, good.
So then, if he said, then that's amazing.
If you say it's amazing, but you didn't tell him. In other words, we're just giving a parameter. We're giving a definition of who's qualified to bring a karban chatas. And it's only somebody who would have stopped had he known it was aser. Now, it really does sound, the opinion of the Tanakam and Rav Shimon sound remarkably identical. They're pretty much the same. Right, according to the Tanakhama, if you're a mummer, you can't bring a chatas. According to Rabbi Shimon, if somebody tells you it's chalev and you say, good, I'm going to eat it anyway, it's pretty much the same thing. My beinayu, so the Gemara, it prompts the Gemara to ask the question, is there a difference, because there's got to be, is there a difference between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon? So the Gemara gives two possible explanations. Amar Rav Hamanuna, mummer lechol chalev umevi karban al adam ika beinayu. So, yeah, let's say, in other words, he picks his spots in terms of where he wants to be an apostate. So as far as chalev is concerned, I'll eat chalev all day. I don't care. I know the Torah says it's aser, right? I'm aware, but I eat chalev all day. Blood? Oh no, the Torah says I'm not allowed to eat blood. So he picks his spots, right? So in some areas he's a mummer, in some areas he's not. So mamstar v'kevin de mamar lechol chelov v'ladam nami mamar havei u'mamstar v'ladam mi hashav v'yediyasehu. So yes, it's a very good nafkamina. So the Gemara says that, look, if the definition of who can't bring a carbon is a mumar, he's a mumar, right? Yes, I understand some areas of halacha he'll follow, but if he is
knowingly
objecting to some of the mitzvahs in the Torah, he's a mumar. Okay, so therefore he's not qualified to bring a carbon, even if it's on an isra he happens to keep, right? On a mitzvah he happens to keep, he's still a mumar. That's the Tanakama. And Rabbi Shimon says no. Rabbi Shimon says you have to look at this particular act. If in this particular act he would have stopped, had you told him, he's qualified to bring a carbon. So that's one possible nafkamina. The Gemara says it's...
Any possible
avail
that anyone does that they do.
Yeah, in other words...
It doesn't have to be Shabbos. It doesn't have to be Avodah Zarah.
It doesn't seem mumar. It's mumar ladavar echad, right? If you're mumar for one,
bring any carbon for any other.
That's where the way the Gemara is setting up right now.
Do we roll them more lean?
Because
it's a simple pshat in the Gemara. That's where the Gemara is taking us right now. Wait a second. Wait one moment. Because watch what the Gemara does now. So the Gemara says, that's a lovely nafkamina, but it's not true. It doesn't work out. Because Rava says that if you're a mumar lechol chelav, you're not a mumar lechol dam. Meaning Rava does not give you the label of mumar just because in one area of halacha you are... You're a limited law-abiding citizen. Rabbi's basically saying what you're saying. Okay, so the Gemara says, okay, let's go like this. So the Gemara does not like the first way of explaining the Braisa. The Nafkamina does not work out.
But Rabbi's saying according to everyone.
Right, correct. Correct. So that's why the Gemara is going to give up explaining the Braisa the way we did and turn now to a new way of explaining the Braisa. Correct. But Ochel Nevelos L'Teavon Eschafla B'Shumah V'Achlo Kemiflagi. The Machlokas goes like this. He's an Ochel Nevela. He eats Nevela but L'Teavon. Meaning, it's the Yetzer Hara gets the best of him. He's not a bad guy. It's not a religious rebellion. It just happens to be that he goes for cheeseburgers. Right? I'm using cheeseburgers as an example. He just likes it. And he can't resist it. And then what happens is like this. And Mar Savar Kevendel Teavon Achel Bemezid Mumerhu. So the first opinion is that, look, it's Leteavon. Meaning he's doing it because He has a desire for it. It's not a religious rebellion, but he has a desire for it. But nevertheless, he qualifies as a mumar. And the other opinion is no, because I know he's a teyavon. I know he has a desire for it. But if you put two pieces in front of him, one kosher, one non-kosher, and you give him just an equal opportunity to do an isser versus doing a mitzvah, or not an isser, let's say, he won't do the isser. So he doesn't therefore qualify as a mumar, and the Gemara says that is the difference between the Tanakhama versus Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, shav mi diaso, meaning according to Rabbi Shimon, look, if you explain to him, you know, the Torah says this is forbidden, and let me give you something else that you can have instead of that,
he'll do it.
Okay, Tan Rabbanan Achol Chelav Zeh Mumar. Okay, and so here we go now, and we are going to have for the next 10 lines of Gemara, a most basic discussion in the Gemara of who is and is not a mumar. And again, we're just discussing it in the context of bringing a karban. It does have other ramifications than halacha, but we're having a limited discussion. Achol Chelav Zeh Mumar Veiz Mumar Achol Nevelos Trefa Shkatzim V'Ramasim M'Shasa Yai Nesech. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Afal Avesh Kalayim. Three opinions in the Braisa. Well, no, let me not say it like that. Two opinions in the Braisa. The first opinion is very difficult to understand.
First opinion goes like this. If you eat chaylev, forbidden fats, you're a mummer. And what's a mummer? Somebody who eats nevela, trefa, shkatzim, ramasim, drinks yai nesech, you're a mummer. Okay, you realize that Bryce, the first opinion is just so difficult to understand. Which one is it? Eating chaylev, eating these other things? Okay, give the Gemara a moment. The Gemara will try to flesh out that first opinion. And Rav Yehuda says, even if you were kalayim, you're a mummer. Okay, now I'm a mar. So let's go back over this brisa, and the Gemara will dissect the brisa. Achal chelav zeh mummer vezeh mummer achal nevelas. My kamar, the Gemara says, I just don't understand what the Tanakam is saying. What's he trying to say? Amar Rabba Baruchanam Rav Yochanan Hachi kamar achal chelav teyavon arizeh mummer. Okay, brisa is saying like this: if he eats chelav leteyavon, he allows his Yetzirah to get the best of him. And repeatedly, he eats chaylev again and again and again, not as a religious rebellion, just simply because it's te'avon, he is a mummer. That qualifies him as a mummer. And again, in our Gemara, in our discussion, that means he cannot bring a karban. Good. Lahachis, however, let's say he eats it, but lahachis, as a religious rebellion. Meaning he knows the Torah says it's aser. He's not even that interested in eating it. But to stage his religious rebellion against God, he eats it anyway. He is now well beyond, he's called a tzeduki. Wow. Now, the word tzeduki, right, on the bottom you'll see that in other Gemaras the word is min, right, heretic. Probably not even the best English word to describe it. But somebody who is just, he's an idolater. He almost gains the status of an idolater. Rashi writes over here, right? It's a strong Rashi. Rashi's on the left-hand side. Rashi's about a little less than halfway down. It's a short Rashi. Harezet Tzeduki, Ushchita Sol Avodas Kochavim. He shechs an animal. That animal's Takrovas Avodas Zara. Okay? In other words, we're dealing now with not just someone who left the reservation, but someone who's playing for the other team. Right? He's a tzeduki. And how do you know? The ezu mummer de bistamut tzeduki have omer ochel nevel strefer shkatz ramas meshasa yai nesach. So he eats foods. Now the way Rashi explains it, he eats foods which no regular person would want to eat. Right? Rashi, it's the next Rashi, he writes, hovani ochlem have a dvarim shanefesh katza behem. Who's interested in eating shkatz and ramasim? Nobody. The Torah says it's aser, so we abstain from eating it because the Torah says it's aser. But we don't have a desire to eat it, and this guy eats it. So Rashi says, "Vaday lahachesu ustamu rahu." This person's doing it to stage a religious rebellion against God, and so therefore he's beyond the point of mummer. It's not leaving the reservation. He's a min, he's a tzeduki. He's playing now for the other team. Good. What is Yai? Yeah, that you understand.
Because, like,
yeah. So the Tosfos Rosh asks your question.
Unslaughtered meats or what? Something.
That doesn't ask your question, but explains. Again, I'm going to ask you to squint to a second wide line down in Tosfos Rosh. The kasha tenach nevelas the ikal amuke, but nevelas musrachas. Right, spoiled nevela. Writes the Tosfos Rosh. Aval trefos my ikal amemar.
Like a kimono dragon.
Right, he suggests that according to Rashi, I don't know which Rashi he's talking about. Our Rashi has the word trefa. He says that according to Rashi, in the parentheses he points it out. Rashi doesn't have the word trefa. And then Yai Nesach, the Tosfos of Rashi is bothered by a different question. What about Yai Nesach? What are you going to do with Yai Nesach? That's not disgusting, that's fine. But he writes, the Tosfos of Rashi, third wide line down, right, it's real Yai Nesach. So this guy's drinking Yai Nesach, you see that he's playing for the other side. Right? It's more than leaving the reservation. Good. Okay, let's go back to the Gemara. Good. So good. Somebody wears kalayim. My Beinayu, the Gemara says, I don't understand. He's wearing kalayim, and he knows that kalayim is aser. Obviously, we're talking about somebody who's aware and knowledgeable. So, what's the difference? My Beinayu, kalayim derabanan. So the Gemara says it's Kalim Darabanan. Now, not for now, but Rashi explains the difference between Kalim Daraisa versus Kalim Darabanan. See Rashi inside for a description of differences between Kalim Darabanan versus Kalim Daraisa. But just back to our Gemara, Ma'asavar Midaraisa have a mummer, Darabanan lo have a mummer, Ma'asavar Kalim Kevin de Mefarsim Isure, Afilu Bidarabanan have a mummer. And it's interesting what the discussion is in the Gemara, what the debate is in the Braisa, is that if it's something that everybody knows it's Osir, even though the Isser is only Nisr Darabanan, but everybody knows it's Osir, and you don't do it, you're a mummer. Right? That's the second opinion of the Braisa of the Rabbi Shimon approach. Not Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda feels that even though the Isser is not a real Isser Daraisa, it doesn't matter. It's prohibited, albeit the Rabbanan, only rabbinically, but it's prohibited and everyone knows it's prohibited. And if you violate it, you now gain status as a mummer. Right. The Gemara now brings in the Amoraim who debate, you know, this issue. So Ravina and Ravacha, once they let Leteavon, if it's your Yetzahara, in other words, it's not a religious rebellion, you just let your Yetzahara get the best of you, you're a mummer. If it's Lahachis, you're a Tzeduki. Chanamar, Lahachis nami mummer. And the other one says, no, even if it's Lahachis, you don't gain the status of a tzeduki, of a min, but it's a mummer. Now remember, we talked in Avodah Zarah, right, somewhere in the middle of the Chafs, we talked about, as a min, as a tzeduki, you don't have to save their life, you don't, right? In other words, we spoke in very strong terminology about the feeling of a tzeduki or a min, and the second position is no. Even as a lahachisnik, right, even if it is religious rebellion, you don't automatically gain status as a tzeduki, as a min. In order to be a tzeduki, you have to be a bona fide idolater. Then and only then do you gain the status of a tzeduki. Basically, the Gemara challenges, if you eat a bug, you are a mummer. The Gemara assumes, look, that's got to be lahachas. Who wants to eat a bug? The kakari le mummer, and the brace calls you a mummer. Now remember, one opinion was you're already a tzeduki if you're a lahachis. So the Gemara says, don't get so excited by that brace. Hasam da amar itam tam di isura. It doesn't necessarily have to be a lahachis, Nick. It's curiosity. Curiosity does not make you a religious rebeller, right? You just simply want to know. I know in the Far East they eat all those bugs. I wonder what it tastes like. And we could still write it off as a Yetzahara, as getting the best of you. You don't have to assume that it is lahachas. Okay. Good.
That's if you only do it once.
Right. Well, not necessarily. The Gemara assumed up above, you could be that you keep going back to your forbidden foods, even as a Yetzahara issue. Okay. That was a digression of the Gemara. The Gemara digressed here because we did discuss, we did bring in Rav Yochanan earlier about what happens when you set aside your karban and you become a mummer. Can you bring your karban again? The answer is no, because came the itzchei, once it's pushed off, it's pushed off. And then we got onto this discussion regarding a mummer. Okay. Ezuhu nasi zemelech. Here we go. Great Gemara is coming up regarding the king and his special karban. Now, Tanu Rabbanan Nasi Yachol Nasi Shevet. Now, when we say Nasi, we talked about this already once before, but now we're going to discuss it in depth. Nasi means king. It means a king. Now, the Torah doesn't say the word king. By the special karban, it keeps going back to Nasi. Now, Nasi means a leader. Now, we keep saying king because the king is an undisputed leader. It's not just a leader, right? Plenty of leaders. We're all, to a certain degree, one way or another, leaders. Leaders of our family. We all have leadership roles, but in order to bring this carbon, you have to be not a leader, but the leader. So the Gemara says, Yachol, I might have thought, Nasi Shevet and Nachshon ben Aminadav. Look, Nachshon was a leader. Leader of a whole tribe. So Tam Alamar, Mikol Mitzvot Hashem Elokav. Lahalon Omer, Laman Yalamed Liyira Es Hashem Elokav. Ma Lahalon Shein Agabav Ela Hashem Elokav. Af Nasi Shein Agabav Ela Hashem Elokav. you have nobody to answer to other than to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then and only then do you qualify for the special carbon of a Seir. Great question coming up. Now Rebbe asked the following question from Rebbe Chia. Now, Tosfos HaRosh is bothered by a simple issue over here. Before we see the exchange, Rebbe's going to be consulting with Rebbe Chia. Rebbe Chia is a student. It's a little bit strange for Rebbe to consult with his student, Rebbe Chia. But the Tosfos HaRosh says, that doesn't bother me so much because it was like a student who turned into a colleague. So like Rebbe and Rebbe Chia, although, you're right, the original relationship was that Rebbe Chia was a student of Rebbe, but they did turn into colleagues. Kagon ani ma'u b'si'ir. Rebbe asks Rebbe Chia, would I bring a Seir? You understand how unbelievable this question is. Rebbe is essentially asking, am I the king? Okay, that's number one. Number two, Rebbe's living well over 130 years after the destruction of the Second Temple. He's not bringing a carbon. So the question is really a question of status, meaning, do I, from a perspective of status, have the full status as a melech, as a king? Of course I'm not.
They called him Rebbe Yehuda.
Hanasi.
That's the discussion.
Correct, correct. So is his nesius, is his leadership, would it qualify, had there been a Beis HaMikdash, and had he violated a sin, would it qualify in order for him to be the unquestionable Nasi? So the answer is even better. But so Rebbe Merchia could go on any mal b'siir. Amalei harei tzarascha bebavel. Your tzara, your co-wife, is in bavel. Right? When a man is married to more than one wife, so they're called tzaras. The reason why is not because he has tzaras, but they obviously are. It's an antagonistic relationship to share a husband with another wife. It's, you know, obviously it's very difficult. It's very contentious. Here also, what Rebbe Chia says to Rebbe is, look, you may be the leader over here, but remember out there in Bavel you have your Reish Galusa, and he's also a leader. And Esve, okay, good. Okay, pause. So that is Rebbe Chia's answer to Rebbe. No, you're not the leader.
I think the Rebbe was in there strong.
So that, right? Good. Then give me a moment because the Gemara will answer your very question. Ezra, the Gemara says, let me challenge you. Machi saw Machi based David. Elam Avim Latzman, but Elam Avim Latzman. So you can't have this idea of co-leadership? In fact, unbelievable. B'nai Israel schismed into two states, right? Civil war, and we schismed. So we had the southern Yehuda Binyamin, right? Machi Yehuda. And we have the northern, and that was Malchei Yisrael, started by Yeravam ben Nevat. And interestingly enough, the halacha is amazing that each one is considered separate leadership, and so therefore, if Yeravam or any subsequent Malchei Yisrael were to sin, they would bring the Seir, even though concurrently there's another leader living in Yehuda. Right? Amazing. But what you see over here is that there's such a thing as. It's not co-leadership. That's not the right way to say it. But it's concurrent leadership. You can have multiple leaders of multiple Jewish factions.
More than one Nasi.
Right. So the Gemara says, but that's different. And this answers your question. You're right. However, Machi Yisrael, Machi Yehuda were totally independent states of one another. They were not subject to one another. We, meaning, Rebbe Chia saying this to Rebbe, we are subject to Bavel. So amazing, so fascinating. After the destruction of the Second Temple, the political structure was such that really everything was dictated by Bavel.
What about Rome, though? But Rome was in charge of Israel, no?
And
this is from the Jewish perspective, right?
But from the Jewish perspective, though, who answers to whom? The correct answer is, the Gemara here says in Arios, is that the Jews in Israel answered to the Jews of Bavel. And then, right, to the question which we always come back to, right, we have two Talmuds, Talmud Yerushalmi, Talmud Bavli, and why the Talmud Bavli became the dominant Talmud, the one that's accepted, the one that we spend every day learning, and this gives us a little window of understanding of why that is. So, Rav Safra Masna Hachib Aminei Rebbe, May Rebbe Chia, now we have a slightly different version of how this exchange went between Rebbe and Rebbe Chia. Kigon Animao Basir, it starts off with the same question, do I bring the carbon Seir? Rebbe asks Rebbe Chia, so Amalei Hasam Shevet HaChamechol Cake. No, you don't. And here, it's the same flavor answer, just slightly different in terms of the way it's presented. Here, sorry, no, let me start off. There, meaning in Bavel, shave it. That's the executive branch. Right? Over there in Bavel, right, there it's like, right, to give a mashal, right, here in this country, we're divided between the executive branch and the judicial branch. So they're the executive branch over there. That's the Reish Galusa. Hacha over here, Mechokek. So we're the judicial branch, right? We do the law, right? But we're not leadership from an executive standpoint. V'tanya, we learned in the Brisa, lo yasur shevet miYehuda, zeh rosh golus shebabavel. The shevet doesn't leave Yehuda, and that's rosh golus shebabavel. That's referring to the Babylonians, right? The Reish Galusa, they're the shevet. That's the executive branch. Sherodes Yisrael b'makal, they hit people with a stick. They're enforcement. They're law enforcement. Umechokek mi bein raglav elu b'nei bavel. Sorry, elu b'nei banav shol hilo shom lamdim torli Yisrael berabim. And when it says the mechokek, that's the lawgiver. That's us. Right, we're over here in Eretz Yisrael. So there was a separation between executive versus judicial, and the Gemara says, and this version of the answer, it basically comes out to the same. We may be the interpreters of the law. We may be the possessors of Torah, but in terms of leadership, that's Bavel. Okay.
The thing is, you also had the definition that nobody has to be above Nasi except Hashem. So in this case, there is somebody above him.
Right. He answers. It's the same. It's the same basic approach. We answer to Bavel. So therefore, no, you're not the Nasi, and you would not have brought the Seir. Ezuhu HaMashiach. We start now the new Mishnah. The Mishnah over here gives us a very detailed analysis of which Kohen Gadol brings his par. Kohen Gadol, if he sins, has a special carbon. It's a par, and the Torah every time it describes the Kohen Gadol, it says the Kohen HaMashiach. I don't even think it says the word Kohen. It says HaMashiach, the one who was anointed. And the Kohen, of course, is anointed. HaMashiach b'Shem Namishcha. Now he's anointed with Shem Namishcha, anointing oil. Okay, we'll talk about that in the Gemara. Lo hamruba begadim. Now there came a point in time when the anointing oil was hidden, was put in Geniza. We'll also talk about that later. And so from that point forward, how were the Kohen Gadols appointed? Through by wearing the extra begadim of a Kohen Gadol. Regular Kohen wears 4 begadim, Kohen Gadol wears 8 begadim. So just simply by donning the extra begadim. Mishnah Megillah, which we're learning here again in Horio, Sein Bein Kohen HaMashiach B'Shem HaMishcha Lemeruba Begadim. Look, in terms of Halacha, there's no real big difference. They're essentially the same with a couple exceptions. Ela Par HaBaal Kol HaMitzvos. Exception number one is the Par. The Kohen that is Shem HaMishcha, the pointed with the oil, he brings the Par. The Kohen who's Meruba Begadim, he doesn't bring the Par. And it begs the question, so what does he bring if he sins? So I'm unsure. I don't know. Maybe he doesn't bring any carbon. The Ein Bein Kohen...
He doesn't talk about a Sagan Kohen either.
We'll get to that.
Yeah.
We'll get to that. Ein Bein Kohen Mishamish L'Kohen She'aver Elapar Yama Kippur Vasir Sa'ifa. What about the Kohen She'aver? Kohen She'aver goes like this. You have a Kohen Gadol who, for whatever reason, took a temporary leave of absence. He becomes Tameh, he becomes sick, whatever reason. And so now the deputy becomes the sheriff, right? The second in command takes over for that time. He becomes the substitute Kohen Gadol. Now, when the original Kohen Gadol comes back, he gets over his tumor, he gets over his illness. So now the substitute is only a temp, so he steps down. Although he steps down, but in terms of status, he's a Kohen Gadol. From this point forward, status-wise, he's a Kohen Gadol. So essentially, they're the same person now. It's two people, right? The substitute and the original, and they are essentially in status of Kohen Gadol. And there's only minor differences between the two of them. The Mishnah points to two. The bull of Yom Kippur. It's only one bull brought on Yom Kippur to atone for the Kohen Gadol. So the one, not the temp, but the original who's back in the saddle, he brings the par of Yom Kippur. Same thing with the Asiris Ha'efa, the special mincha offering brought daily by the Kohen Gadol. It is not the temp, but the original Kohen Gadol who's back in the saddle, he brings it. But Zevezeh Shavim Ba'avodas Yom HaKippurim. Both of them are eligible to do the Avodah Yom Kippur. I mean,
they're going to both go into the...
No, right, right. The answer is no, but they're both eligible.
One is on standby, just
right. One's going to be in standby. Umitzuvah and Alabasula, both of them have to marry a Basula, as is the instructions given to a Kohen Gadol. V'asur al Amana, neither can marry an Amana. V'eina mitamim v'kroveim, neither can become tummy for a relative. Remember, a regular Kohen, Kohen Hedjot, is mitami for the seven relatives, not the Kohen Gadol. So your temp, your substitute Kohen, who took the position of Kohen Gadol for a week, 2 weeks, whatever the case was, he now has full status as Kohen Gadol. He can't marry a Basula, he can't become tummy for Krovim. V'loporim, v'loporimim, they can't tear their clothing for their relative, they can't shred the clothing. U'machzir na'rotzech, and if either one of them die, all the rotzechim go free. All your people in the Ir Miklat, in the Ari Miklat, go free. Okay? For the death of either one of them. Tanu Rabbanan. I'm not sure if I said the right pshat in the Mishnah. Does either one of them have to die, or both of them have to die?
One. Either one, no?
That's what I thought. I'm unsure.
Either of the two. That's what it says.
That's what he says. That's what I say.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Makos.
Okay.
One or the other.
Okay. Tanur Rabbanan Shemna Mishcha Shasa Moshe Bemidbar Hayushalkim Bo Esei Karm Divra Rav Yehuda. Now Rav Yehuda says, how would they make the Shemna Mishcha? So what they would do is they would take the Simanim, right? And all this is found in Parshas Kisisa. They take the Simanim, cook it in the oil. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi Omer, V'alola Sochesi Karmina Sofik Ella. Rabbi Yossi says, no, that's not what they did. Now, the reason why Rabbi Yossi objects so strongly to this idea that they took the Simanim, they took the different roots and grasses and spices and fragrances, and they cooked in the oil, is because, quite frankly, there wasn't enough oil to cook it in. Meaning what Rabbi Shimon is suggesting, sorry, not Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda. What Rabbi Yehuda is not suggesting, what he's saying is that you actually deep fried all those simanim in the oil. So Rabbi Yossi says, no way. Because as we're going to learn in just a moment, there are only 12 lugan of oil, and like 70, I don't have a number for you, an extensive amount of simanim. No way you can deep fry all the simanim in the 12 lugan of oil. You're talking about 4 liters of oil. It's not a lot of oil. So here's what they would do. They would soak all these roots in water. So now they became soft. They would sprinkle the oil on the roots, scrape the oil off, but now the oil will get the fragrances of all the different spices. That is the opinion of Rav Yossi. So Amar Rav Yehuda, so Rav Yehuda says, what's your problem? Your problem is the math. There's not enough oil. So Rabbi Yehuda says, so what? Let's say that the Shemana Mishcha worked all yidei neis. V'chi neis echa nasa b'shemana mishcha v'alo t'chilaso shtem asar lugim mimenu. Look, I'll show you other miracles that happen with the Shemana Mishcha. Nimshach mishkan v'kelav Aaron uvanav kol shivas yimeyam aluim. Look what was anointed with the Shemana Mishcha. Mishkan, the whole Mishkan, all the kelim, Aaron, his sons, all 7 days of inauguration, the kulo kayim la'asid lavo. And you know how much Shemen HaMishcha was left? Same amount. As much as we anointed. Now anointing means, you know, dropping a
couple
of drops, but still. In other words, even after it was used again and again and again and again, same amount was after usage. Shenem HaShem HaMishcha Kodesh Yazeh. Kodesh Yazeh L'Dorasechem. And as the Gemara was going to tell us in just a moment, the word Zez is Gematria 12, which is, I know it's Gematria, but still, Gemara is going to use it. 12 Lugin, even after it was used. Tanya Idach, we have another bright of Ikachar and Hashem Namishcha, Vimshach, and Mishkan, that's called Asher Bo. Rabbi Yehuda, Hashem Namishcha, Shasa Moshe, Ben Midbar, Kamanisim, Nasu Bo, Mitzchil, Vyatsof. Look at all the miracles. Tchilas Allah, Yalla, Shem Asar Lugin, Rakama, Yora bol oz v'kama ikarim bolim v'kama or sarev bol. Look at all the absorption that takes place with oil. It gets absorbed into the pots, it gets absorbed into the roots. Uvon imshach mishkan v'kelav aron v'anav, it was used for mishicha, kol shivas yimei amiluim, uvon imshach kohanim gedolim v'malachim. Kings were anointed, Kohen Gadol were anointed, Ve'afilo Kohen Gadol bo. I'm sorry, Ve'afilo Kohen Gadol ben Kohen Gadol to Mashiach. Even the son of a Kohen Gadol gets Mashiach. And by the way, Ein Moshchen Melech ben Melech. And we don't anoint this king, the son of a king with the oil. Now the Imtom Mimne Mashcho Shlomo. Now you'll see Shlomo did get anointed, and he is the son of David. But that's only because of the controversy. And in order to make sure that people understood that he was the undisputed leader, so therefore they anointed him. And that happened a couple of other times in history. Yoash Mimne Atalia. Atalia was that wicked mother who killed off all the kings. So Yoash also got anointed, even though he was a king, son of a king. Ve'ez Yeho Achaz Mimne Yeho Yakim. Same thing is true with Yeho Achaz. Mimne Shayagodim Mimne Shteshanim. Right? He took the throne even though he had a brother 2 years older. So he needed the Shemin HaMishcha. Ve'oso Shemin Kain Lost Elova Shemin Shemin Mishcha Az Kodesh Yezeli L'Dor Zechem Zeh Begamashir Shnei Masar Lugin Avo. Despite all that, you started with 12, you ended with 12, you see it was a miracle. Right? That is, and so the second braisa supports the position of Yossi. Don't bother me with the facts. You're right. There's not enough oil to deep fry all the spices, but so what? After all the years and all the usages, it's still, you ended up with 12, you see that it was Aydei Nes.
Why is this so? Why is this a little
Shemesh? I don't know. I don't know. And
why does it have to be made by Moshe? The pasuk says that only Moshe would be made Shemesh.
Yeah.
What?
I don't know. Amar Mar Ve'afilu Kohen Gadol Ben Kohen Gadol Tam Mashiach Haminal Dechsev Hakon Mashiach Tachtav Mi Banav. Now the Gemara darshins like this: Name a krav Hakon Mi Tachtav Mi Banav, and the Kohen that serves underneath my Ham Mashiach. Sounds like even with the son, he needs anointing. So the Gemara says, "Kamash Malan, yeah." Demi banav de kohen gadol, ihavi Mashiach, havi kohen gadol, viilolo, havi kohen gadol. Yes, correct. You need to be anointed. Even the kohen gadol, son of kohen gadol. So with kohen gadol, so there is no nepotism. Kohen gadol, even a son of a kohen gadol needs to be anointed. Amar Amar Vein Moshchim Melch Men Melch Minalan Amar Avachah by Yaakov Dechsev Laman Yarich Yamim Amam Lachto Yerushihi Lachem. King is Yoresh, right? There is an inheritance regarding kings. So Minalan Dechiika Machlok is by Mashiach. Unless it's disputed, then you do need Mashiach. V'alav Kol to buy Malcha Mors Malchas Alavnei Amar Papa Makra. Who of anav bekerav Yisrael? That's only because the pasuk says him and his sons bekerav Yisrael amongst the Jews, and he darshens like this: Bezman shalom Yisrael karina bay who uvanav ve'afilu below Mashiach. There has to be shalom. Bekerav Yisrael means that there has to be some sort of consensus, understanding that yes, this is the one who is going to be anointed. Appointed. And if that's the case, then you don't need any anointing. Tana. Af Yehu ben Nimshi lo Nimshach ela mimnei machlukoso shel Yoran. Yehu did not get Mashiach. He did not get anointed. Other than the fact, it's a double negative, meaning he did get anointed. Other than the fact that there was a dispute with him and Yoram. The Tepeklei Mishim Derishanhu. The Gemara says, what do you mean? Aside from the fact that he had a machlokis, he wasn't even the son of a king. Chesur mechzer v'hachi ketani. Malchi beisav v'moshuchin malchi Yisrael ein meshuchin. Malchi Yisrael do not get anointed. Minalan amarav amakra kum ashchei ki zeh. Zeh ton meshuchin v'ein acher ton meshicha. Okay, good. You have to be malchi dav in order to get meshicha. Amar avyo benimshi lo nimshach el mimna machzor shal yom o mishum machluk zor shal yom ben achav nimo b'shem. The Gemara suggests, Gemara says, I don't understand. So good. So they had a dispute. The Gemara says, so what? Why would I allow Shemen HaMishcha to be used? Shemen HaMishcha is Kodesh. It belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. So Kedamar HaPapa Ba'afar Samazach Dachya HaChanam Ba'afar Samadachya. Not every time they would use Shemen HaMishcha, sometimes they would use just a farsman oil. Here also, it means a farsman oil. It's not the real Shemen HaMishcha. Okay. All right, I got to stop. It's just a lot of Gemara. All right, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow, more, a lot of good Agadata regarding the end of the Malchus Yehuda. We'll talk tomorrow about Tzidkiyahu, Tzidkiyahu HaMelech, and he was the final king of the first temple. More about Kohen inheriting, king inheriting, much more to come tomorrow.